Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
All right, back in the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this Chris Harrington deal.
Now, it's Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian on the Grizzlies, Memphis, and more. Presented by the Majestic Grill. Rediscover downtown dining. Chris Harrington on 92.9's Jeff Calkins Show.
Chris Harrington joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
It's The Long Cut by Uncle Tupelo from their 1993 swan song, Anodyne. Sending out to Brandon Clark, who's taken the long cut to get back to the court a little more than a year since he tore his Achilles.
That was March 3rd, I think, right? I think it was March 3rd.
I think, I don't know. It was in the first half of March in 2023. Yeah. I don't have the exact date.
Before I get to that, by the way, but yesterday when we were talking about the gambling stuff, you made a what I thought was a really good point, that unlike alcohol ads, it's embedded in the actual programming itself, right?
It's very intertwined.
Yeah. The other thing that was pointed out to me by a listener is you can't order a shot as you sit on your couch to be delivered. I mean, you can't. Whereas there, you can literally pick up your phone, and so they're speaking to that impulse and bet at that moment there as well. So
it's tied into the phone addictions that we all have, of us pretty much at this point.
Yes,
and
right.
Like, there's all kinds of issues that are intersecting there. Yeah.
But anyway, all right. So Brandon Clark coming back. Zach Kleiman had said he expected him back for a cameo, and he's we think he's questionable for tonight, which typically means he's going to play. And this is the game they have been targeting.
Yeah, all indications are he will play. It's one of these things, the way they do it. He upgraded from doubtful the game before to questionable this game. And what that means is before the game, he'll go through his walkthrough or his shoot around, and then he'll give a thumbs up to the trainers and vice versa, and then he'll play. There's a chance that, you know, they decide to push it off. That has happened before. Not every questionable designation leads to a guy playing, but it means that the intent is for him to play.
And what do you, what's the significance?
Oh, I wouldn't make too much of it. It's significant for Brandon Clark to get back on the court. It's mostly significant for Brandon Clark. I think for the Grizzlies, it's significant to the Grizzlies because it's significant to Brandon Clark.
Right.
And I think for him, it's just to get a little confidence in his return and to feel good about being on the floor again and to give him confidence that he is healed and he can do this again. I'm not saying he has any doubts, but you get on the court and you feel better about your progress, and that gives you, I think, a little bit of a springboard into a summer and the idea that you're going to be all the way back to the player you were before going into next season. Not tonight, but going into next season.
Yeah, it's funny. Gabe asked me yesterday. He said, how much – you know, will this mean for the Grizzlies as they plan their offseason? And as I talked about it, I said, I think this means more to the fans psychologically to see it.
Yeah.
And to Brandon Clark psychologically to go through it. The Grizzlies, I suspect, they watch him every day. They basically, they'll take all the information in.
Yeah, but games are different.
Yeah, games are different.
I'll write about this tonight. You know, we'll see what happens tonight, but I won't just write about the game tonight. I'm looking at sort of larger context of Brandon Clark. Brandon Clark, you know, we're a year removed from the injury. That injury was roughly a year removed from what was his best moment as an NBA player. He had the only playoff series this iteration of the Grizzlies has won against Minnesota. He averaged 17 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, played 30 minutes a game. And that was sort of a proof of concept of this is not a guy you're going to play 30 minutes across 82 games just because the way he plays, whatever. But in playoff basketball, he fits so well with Jaren. He fits so well with Ja. When the game tends to get smaller, he has the mobility. And this is a player who can elevate in a playoff series and be a real key guy for you in a winning situation. He's done it.
Remind me, what was his season like last year before he got hurt?
I'm not there in my notes. I was taking notes this morning. I'd looked at the season before and some injury stuff. I think he was having a good year. He was not having like a great year, but certainly a bounce back year. If you go back to the first year the Grizzlies made the playoff series against Utah, That was year two for Brandon Clark, and that was the year he had a rough year. Then he bounced back after that. But that year, he sort of like got passed by Tillman, a rookie Tillman in the rotation. And in that Utah series, he played 9 minutes total, complete total,
wow.
9 minutes in the whole series. And so
he had a bounce back year. He had the terrific series against the Minnesota.
Yeah, and like everybody struggled against Golden State, whatever. But like, you know, he was back to being a really good player. And they'd given him the contract, the 4-year, $52 million, with the idea that you're sort of. I think that contract is. You may not be a starter, but you're in the core rotation.
Right.
You're like the third big at least kind of thing.
Big.
And so I think that's the idea for him going forward.
Now the history of
– And to the point I think Jeffrey made a few weeks ago, like I don't rule out that he'll be a starter next season.
What's the recent history of Achilles injury?
So the comp I brought up, and I may get into that, get back to that in what I write tonight. We'll see. The best comp I can find is Dwight Powell. So – Dwight Powell was a backup, sometimes starter, similar level of the rotation, a center for the Dallas Mavericks, 6'9", 6'10", another player whose game was predicated on getting off the floor, sort of an athletic finishing big, a very similar kind of player to Brandon Clark. He had the same injury in January 2020, I think this is right, January 2020, so, you know, a couple years before. And that was during the COVID stuff. So the next season, so he missed obviously the rest of that season. The next season was delayed, and it didn't start until the week of Christmas because of COVID.
Right.
So he was on the floor opening night starting the next season. So that was 11 months.
Right.
So 11 months from the injury, he was back in the lineup. If you look at the stats, you specifically look at indicators I feel like are probably good indicators. I looked at two-point shooting percentage, rebound rate, block rate, steal rate, you know, finishing at the rim, doing athletic stuff. There's not much difference between those numbers for him pre- and post-injury. What is different, and I'd have to go back and take a closer look at the team situation to see if that was a factor, but his minutes per game was down significantly the first year back, and then it bounced back up to normal the second year. And so I think that's a pretty good expectation that Brandon Clark, maybe you're careful with his usage next season, but that he should be effective in the usage,
and then
you work your way back up to the normal. Like maybe by the time you get to the playoffs or whatever, you're back to normal.
So what does, assuming he's here, it seems likely he's here because his contract is pretty hefty and whatever else. What is the Bigs situation heading into next year?
Jaren under contract. Yeah, Brandon Clark under contract. You have Santi Aldama under contract, eligible for an extension. But even if he signs an extension, it wouldn't kick in for another year after that. So he's under contract next season. That's locked in at a good number, the $4 million number. And that's pretty much it, unless I'm forgetting somebody, because you've moved off of Adams. You've moved off of Tillman. Trey Jemison's on a two-way team option. That's not really a factor in this, even if he's back. G.G. Jackson, Jake LaRavia, they're more combo guys.
Yeah.
You know, they're different. So they clearly need at least one more player in their big rotation, whether that comes with their lottery pick or some other way, you're adding another big to that rotation. I think that all bets are sort of off as to who the starter is. I think Brandon Clark is a potential but uncertain starting candidate. I think Santi Aldama is a potential but uncertain starting candidate. And so I think the lane is wide open for whoever you add to be the starter.
And whatever it feels like. The other big that they add has to be of the sort who can bang. Right?
Yeah, it needs to be more of a physical player. It doesn't have to be like a 7-1 big center. I think that's, you know, a fairly likely option, but it doesn't necessarily have to be that. It could be a Tillman kind of player.
It could be a 6'9 burly center.
Yeah, Tillman's like a 6'9, like, you know, more physical. It could be somebody like that, but it has to be someone who's more of a banger in the paint.
Well, so if you did something like, let's just say you drafted Kyle Filipowski.
Yeah.
You would still need to add. You have another. You'd still need to probably add the Burley.
This is sort of the question with Filipowski because he's 7 foot, like 240. I mean, he's like a real. He's not like a Donovan Klingon, Zach Edey center,
right?
But he's got the size and he's a good rebounder defender. I at that point, maybe you're adding another like banging big, but someone who's not necessarily in your rotation. Because if you're adding Kyle Filipowski and you have Santi Aldama and Brandon Clark and Jaren, I think they're all playing. You know. And you're just playing a little bit more finesse-y, you know?
In terms of people ask, they've asked me, what do you expect tonight? I expect an ovation. That's what I expect tonight.
That's it.
I expect an ovation. I expect them to run up down the court and, you know, And maybe you'd like to say, well, the next, I don't know how many games he'll play of the remainder. You'd expect to, it would be nice if he looked something like Brandon Clarke, right? I mean, and I suspect he will.
Yeah, no, I think he'll be fine. I don't expect a lot of minutes is what I don't expect. I expect him to play like 15 minutes or whatever. Right. And then what happens from there, who knows?
By the way, you mentioned Trey Jemison. What have we seen of him so far?
He's big. He's big and he's strong. He's got a little pop. He can get off the floor a little bit. He's been, you know, he's a guy who can set a screen, roll to the rim, and catch lobs and mash offensive rebounds and that kind of thing. There's not a lot of skill level there, not a lot of polish there. The one thing I'm a little disappointed by is the defensive rebounding numbers are thoroughly mediocre, and that's something that the team really needs. And a guy that big, you would hope for him to control the boards a little bit more defensively. That hasn't really been the case. I think he's shown enough that I'd be interested in bringing him back on the two-way, but I certainly wouldn't lock into that, given how raw he is and given that he's already 24. Like, you may well look up and you find something you like better this summer.
You've written a piece, I'm going to get to it in a moment, on checking in on the progress of some of the players, young players that we've been interested in. But we got Grizz Lakers tonight. It was an epic 2-overtime win by the Lakers last night with Anthony Davis playing 52 minutes and 51 seconds. Afterwards, he said, it was fun. Let's line up and do it all again tomorrow. I suspect he will not line up and do it all again tomorrow, which is today, right?
Yeah, I don't know whether he's playing or not, but he's not playing 52 minutes. That's for sure.
He's certainly not playing 52 minutes. From a competitive aspect, LeBron did not play last night.
Expected to play tonight.
Yeah, it's sort of ideal, right? You get LeBron, you get seeing LeBron, you get watching LeBron.
You get a Lakers team that's a little more diminished.
And then you don't get the Grizz destroyer in Anthony Davis, if that's the way it plays out.
Yeah, again, we're in the zone of what do you want out of the game.
Although, the Grizzlies,
when you're at home and the Lakers are there, you want to beat the
win.
Lakers.
Like this is a win that's forgivable. If you're going to slip up and win a game, this is the one to slip up and win a game.
Right.
Plus, the way I'm looking at the reverse standings now,
Toronto is just working too hard.
Toronto is too committed to the cause.
Right.
Even though you're only one game behind them, they've lost 11 straight. And there's a little space with Brooklyn. Brooklyn is three games up on you.
Yeah. So Brooklyn's playing Washington, I think, tonight. So hopefully Brooklyn
get another one. And so I think you can afford to win a game here or there. And I think this would be a good one to go ahead and win. The Lakers have actually won four in a row. There was some thought of trading D'Angelo Russell at the trade deadline. He's been really good since.
Yeah.
Is this a Lakers team that could do something like the Lakers team did last year?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's possible just because LeBron James and Anthony Davis are so good. And so when you narrow things down into a playoff series, you have those two guys. And you look around the West, like other than Denver, assuming if Denver's healthy, like Denver's to me clearly the best team. Other than that, like, it wouldn't shock the world for the Lakers to beat the Wolves or the Thunder or one of these teams in a playoff series at all.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Clippers have faded. What do you make of that?
Yeah, you wonder a little bit about, you know, just older team, regular season, guys have done it before, you don't care about your seeding as much, but they're starting to slip to the degree that, like, you know, they may drop out of the top four. Dallas is coming pretty hard. I guess I'm down a little bit more down on the Clippers relative to
how about that middle group, the Suns, the Clippers.
I think there's a lot, I think other than Denver, ignore seeding when the playoffs start on some of these Western Conference playoff matches, because if you're looking at potentially the Thunder, Wolves, Clippers as home court advantage teams, and you're looking at the Lakers, the Mavericks, the Luka Doncic, who were in the conference finals last season. With LeBron James and Anthony Davis, have won a title with those two players. Dallas with Luka Doncic, who was in the conference finals 2 years ago with Luka Doncic. You're looking at, you know, Golden State, who won a title 2 years ago. No one thought they would win with that group. And you're looking at Phoenix with Kevin Durant in a playoff series. Like, other than Denver, I'd be shocked if Denver lost a first-round series.
But otherwise, all bets are off.
Yeah.
All right, the piece that you wrote today over the Daily Memphian, checking in on some of the younger players and what they've been up to, start with G.G. Jackson. The stat that you used was he now has 9 20-point games, which is tied for fourth among in rookies, and in only 38 games played, though three guys ahead of him, Wembanyama has 36 20-point games. Brandon Miller has 22, and Chet Holmgren has 19. But they have played 63, 64, and 70 games. Gigi Jackson has played 38.
Yeah, he's getting opportunity, but opportunity doesn't guarantee results. And so he's having a lot of big scoring games. The shooting has been somewhat erratic game to game, but he's shown the ability to have big shooting nights. You know, he's had multiple 6, 7 three-point make games. He's just been really impressive as a scorer. There's a lot more to his game to round out. Like, he's in nowhere even remotely close to a finished product. You know, don't assume too much next season. Who knows what it'll be. But, you know, his ability to produce at this age, even in a lost season down the stretch in March on a bad team, which is the only way he's going to get that opportunity, but he's really produced.
The does the all-rookie team go 3-2 deep?
It goes two deep. So it's 10 players. So my guess is if that vote were today, he would just miss out. Because you got to look at the fact that he's done a lot in fewer games, but he's also played fewer games. And I think that matters to people. He's played fewer games and he's done it on a team that's out of the playoff race. So when you look up, and yeah, Derek Lively doesn't have the scoring exploits of Gigi Jackson, but he's been in the rotation all season on a playoff team. And Brandon Podziemski is in the rotation on a team that's in the playoff hunt. And even Cam Whitmore, who I think is his season and his game is the most similar to Gigi Jackson, well, he's on a Houston team that's like a game out of the play-in. And so my guess is Gigi Jackson would come up just short on that, but he has certainly entered the conversation.
It's funny, in the last rookie rankings that I read, I feel like he is not I don't want to sound too much like a Memphian here.
Right.
I feel like he is not properly acknowledged in the rookie rankings. The last rookie rankings at ESPN had him like honorable mention or something and said, yes, he's capable of big nights, but he's also inconsistent from three, and they put up a night that he was, you know, but he's actually shooting 36% from three.
Yeah.
Like that's
when you're entering the chat late and doing so on a team that is eliminated from the playoffs, I think it's real hard to get much
credit for it. Santi Aldama, who we mentioned as one of the
He's had a good month.
Bigs.
He settled down and had a really, really strong month.
I was intrigued. You think it has hurt him. The guard play has hurt Santi Aldama.
If you look at Aldama's numbers year to year, two things jump out to me. One is that his shooting percentage at the rim is way down. And two is that his assists are way up. I look at those two numbers, and I don't see a story of Santi Aldama's development or lack thereof. I see a story of not playing with good guards because he's not getting set up. This is why stats are contextual. It's a contextual game. They have John Morant throwing lobs to him. He's not getting set up for easy shots as frequently, but he's having to handle the ball more and make plays because they don't have the guards to do it. And so I think the lack of guard play has pushed his game in some different directions, positive and negative. And I think next season, if there's a better guard play, he will get into a more comfortable spot.
Chris, thanks very much. You can read the piece over at the Daily Memphian, and Chris will be covering the Lakers.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.